Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult, but Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably. And they have the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io or click the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, friends, I don't think it's any great secret that I love, love, love interviewing thought leaders around the women's space, women founders, capital for women, all of these things. And I have to tell you that today's guest is a little bit of a hero of mine. And I've told her this before, she's aware, but we have with us today Kelly Sievers, Managing Director of Women's Capital Connection, a partner of 1KC for Women. And it has been an absolute joy and privilege and honor to watch 1KC for Women and all of the different verticals that they have and all of the initiatives and programs that they put in place around the Kansas City area to support women. But in particular, Kelly has always been someone that I've wanted to get to know a little bit more. She has excellent taste in t-shirts. And Kelly, I am just so, so glad to have you here on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Lauren, the hero remark goes back at you, girl.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. But, you know, even from my early, early days with Innovate Her, I always kept an eye on 1KC for Women and Women's Capital Connection. And it was always Kelly Sievers. That's the one that I want to watch. That's the leader that I want to emulate. So super excited to have you here today. And we're going to go ahead and just kick it off. And I'm going to ask you, Kelly, tell us about your journey.
Oh, tell you about my journey. How long do you have?
It is a big question.
It's a big question. And I've had a few years on this planet so far too. So, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go all the way back, but I'm going to go pretty far back in saying that, you know, I was very fortunate in that I grew up with, wonderful parents, but a father who was a true entrepreneur. And I, you know, and I am an only child, and my dad was a very type A guy's guy. But he always was very, you know, he always kind of said, you know, he always wanted to listen to my ideas. And, oh, you know, he wasn't this, you can be president, you can do anything. But he always just, I never felt like he, you know, wanted a boy or that I was anything less than anything. And so my dad was my true mentor. And I was, again, I was fortunate enough to grow up with a man who believed in me. And I got to watch the highs and lows and things of a business owner parent. And I learned so much. And to this day, I, lots of sayings, and they'll probably come out of my mouth here today too. A lot of things I thought about, a lot of directions I took were because I had the support and guidance from my entrepreneurial father. So as a young person, again, watching a parent as an entrepreneur, I grew up in Northern Iowa. I went to school at Iowa State, go Clones. But when I got out of college, I remember taking a job for a year. Actually, a friend of mine lived in Kansas City, and so that's how I got to Kansas City. I came here for a visit, and she said, "Why don't you get a job and move here?" Well, my first job here in Kansas City was with Junior Achievement as a high school program director. So I went. It was a very wonderful job for a 25-year-old, because I got to meet a lot of corporate folks who were kind of forced to volunteer, you know, but they were all young professional people. And I got to know Kansas City really well because I went all around to different high schools to do presentations. I went around to all different, that's when these junior achievement companies would meet in the evenings. And I was all the way from Peculiar to, you know, Liberty to all over this city. So I got to know the city well as a newbie in Kansas City. And I also got to meet a whole bunch of young professional people that were my age. So that job was phenomenal. But I had it for maybe about a year. And I thought to myself, you know, I really need to own my own business. Retail sounds fun. So
really,
that yeah, was oh yeah,
good, huh? Okay, all right.
That was, I mean,
you were young. Maybe you didn't know yet.
I didn't know yet. So I just remember I had no money at all. But my dad, you know, he's like, "Well, I'll help fund that." But I don't know anything about retail, and my parents didn't live in Kansas City either. Mm-hmm. So I did get some funding, and I actually purchased the gift shop out in the DoubleTree Hotel in Corporate Woods. Believe it or not, the gift shops were independently owned, and I ran that for about 8 months, and then we bought the gift shop at the Embassy Suites Hotel down by Westport. So I'm really dating myself here, but I will. So this was in the mid '80s. And so computers were just kind of getting going. So I had to learn how to do payroll in Kansas and payroll in Missouri. And I could only hire, you know, the gift shops were open 7 a.m. till 10 p.m., 7 days a week. I had to hire the only people that would work for the money I was paying them were old ladies and high school students, you know? Yeah, it was really quite a lesson in like just a throw you into the fire. Like I say, do you know, employing a bunch of people, but not really. I mean, I never made a ton of money because I had to put money back in inventory and everything. So once I had those gift shops for about 5 years, and then I needed to sell them because I couldn't really get more customers that were outside the hotels. Yeah, they were pretty limited. Sure. So I was going through a business broker to sell those. And I remember him saying, "Well, there's a store for sale on the plaza called Scandia Down." And so I bought it, and I hadn't sold my gift shops yet. And anyway, I sold those a few months later. And so I found a business that I could grow and expand and have, you know, hire more professional folks and all of that. So I embarked on that journey on the plaza. I grew and relocated that store twice and expanded it in the 13 years I owned it. And I sold it 20 years ago. Well, after I sold that, I had no idea what I was going to do with myself because as an adult, you know, I was like, I can't go to work for Sprint, right? You know, right. I've never done anything but own my own business. And so, So that's when I came to the woman who was running the Women's Business Center at the time. Sandy Licata is her name, or Sandy Bartow. Anyway, I came to her because I knew her through my banker. And I'm like, what am I going to do with myself? And believe it or not, she's like, well, there's a position open here at the Women's Business Center, really just helping creating programming for, you know, entrepreneurs. And why don't you come and interview for that? And so I did. And it was wonderful timing because I came as the client services manager at the Women's Business Center. Wonderful timing. I had two small kids at the time, and I could close my office door at the end of every day. That was kind of my thing.
Yeah, you can't do that when you're in retail, right? When you own your own retail.
You can't do that when you own your own business. You just can't, you know. And it was funny because then they still have it, but. Kaufman had the Fast Track New Venture program.
And so I
became a facilitator for that, and we did Fast Track New Venture for women. And I remember facilitating those classes and somebody asking me, so in your business, how many hours a day did you work?
I looked at her, 40.
I said, all of them. Right? I mean, all of them. And it was an interesting space for me, and I loved it. And I spent a couple years doing that. And then that's when Mid-America Angels had gotten started here. So the Women's Business Center is under the umbrella of the Enterprise Center in Johnson County, which is an economic support organization. And the Women's Business Centers, there's about 150 of them around the country, I think. And they have to have a parent organization. So ours was under ECJC umbrella, and the Mid-America Angels group had gotten started in 2006 under the ECJC umbrella, and you know, surprise, surprise, it was made up of all guys. Yeah, but there were no angel groups in the city at the time. There were none. And so it was kind of, it had gotten started in mid 2006. And we had some women, accredited women investors who were tied in with the Women's Business Center as mentors and things, and kind of came to us to say, hey, we want to learn about angel investing. And so we encouraged them to go to a Mid-America Angel meeting, and some of them came out of the meeting like, hey, this is awesome, but they're talking a lot of new lingo for us, you know, valuations, term sheets, where we really need to get educated. Plus, you know, we really would like to invest in other women who hadn't maybe, you know, identified with, you know, finding investors and things like that. So,
well, and really quick, I just, for our listeners, I want to provide a little bit of context, because you're talking about this at a time when this was not the issue of women receiving funding for their businesses, equitable funding. That was not a topic that was at the forefront of anyone's mind at that.
Not at all. Right? No, not at all. Nope.
Yeah. So you were a little bit of an early adopter / innovator / disruptor, even in having these kinds of conversations. So continue, but just to make sure that we're all on the same page, this was new news for people.
Very new. I mean, again, this is 2007, So we decided to start. So we had some champion women that would, we had these cocktail parties in these women's homes. They offered up their homes, like, and brought in a bunch of people they knew through either their work life or their life in general. Hey, are you interested in learning more about women funding women in the equity investment space. Yeah. And, you know, so in January of 2008, we started Women's Capital Connection. We were hoping to start with about a dozen women, and we started with 33 women investors. I know. It was really
more than double. Well done.
I know. It was like, yay. But we knew we had to tie ourselves. We wanted to tie ourselves in with Mid-America Angels in that, hey, we've got to get educated in this space.
Yeah.
Now, what do we look for? How do we look at different investments? And I kind of laugh now, and I tell this story to lots of people, but it was like, when we first started, we were going to, and again, remember back in January of 2008, we were going to invest in women CEOs in the Kansas City metropolitan area that were wanting to raise equity investment. And I laugh. I'm like, yeah, all two of those companies, you know, right?
Well, and I mean, that honestly, like that is still, the pipeline problem is still an issue that we have today. Although I, you know, full acknowledgement of the fact that things are getting better. We're starting to see more tech-led, more scale, highly scalable companies founded by women. But it's still, there's still a lot of inequity in what we see in the numbers. And so, So again, you were just kind of at the forefront of this new conversation and this new need. How do we support female founders on their journeys? So impressed by that. But what was the next step? We're coming together to learn about that shared vernacular, coming to bridging some gaps around knowledge, bridging some gaps around capital. But these conversations are just starting. So what's the next step?
Well, how many years has that been? 16 years, you know, and I'll go up to 2019 was our biggest year for Women's Capital Connection before COVID. But anyway, you know, for the first, 12 years, we did more, there was more activity in those last like 16, 17, 18, 19 than there were in the first 8 years of our existence.
Incredible.
You know, again, we decided it took us a little time, but we decided, okay, we're not just going to look in Kansas City. Yes, we love Midwest deals, still love Midwest deals, but we have to look throughout the country, you know, for good women-led deals. So we expanded our reach geographically. We also expanded our reach. But, you know, we have to have a woman that's in a C-level position in a company. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be the CEO, but it's they need to be in day-to-day operations of the company.
Sure.
Years ago, I think I was at an Invest Midwest event here in when it was in Kansas City. I can't remember when it was, maybe 2014, 15. And I remember there was a company presenting, and it was all guys in the management, and they were presenting, but what they had, and again, I can't recall what it was what their company was about, but it was all targeted to women. Like their customer was women, yet they had no women on their management team. And I remember this guy coming up to me afterwards. I don't know if it was a CEO. I think it was. And he came up to me and he's like, oh, we really would like to get in front of Women's Capital Connection because, you know, all your members will get it. And I'm like, well, where's the woman on your management team? And I remember him saying, oh, you know, my wife is really involved. And I'm like, oh, wrong answer. Wrong answer.
Kelly, I had a conversation. I'm so sorry. This like made me so angry that I have to share this with you. I had a conversation with a founder not too long ago, and we were talking about the lack of women on his team. And he was like, well, my wife, so his wife is not a part of day-to-day operations at all, is not a member of the C-suite. Yeah. Like we had talked about that. And he was like, well, she's practically a founder because if I die or something happens to me, she gets to inherit my half of the company. And I was like, those things aren't the same at all. Like, I appreciate that inheritance is a part of your equity strategy, but it's not the same.
Oh my gosh. It is just, it's a big pet peeve of mine too. I go in to mentor for so many different, you know, just in all the years with Pipeline, with Techstars, with all these things. And I go to like the Sprint Accelerator. And I just remember I'd go to like watch them practice like demo day kind of, you know, pitches and things like that. And nothing gets me worked up more than when they say, oh, we have a really diverse team, and they throw a slide up of like six guys.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how do you say, well, maybe one was, you know, African-American, or one was, and I'm just like, okay, now I'm looking at the diversity from the gender standpoint. Okay.
Sure.
I mean, companies, we're all that companies that are led by both men and women, or at least have both men and women in management, do so much better. I mean, statistics show they do so much better overall, because you need that perspective from both genders. You need it in order to be successful. So that is a real big pet peeve of mine. And a lot of times people understood that, you know, and they would kind of look at my face too when the slide went up or something. This is our team. I'm like, oh my God. I mean,
When we're talking about diversity, I mean, I am absolutely thrilled anytime I see people of color on a leadership team. You know, let us not, you know, conflate the two. It's not the same. You need to have gender diversity. You need to have race diversity. You need to have people who represent such varied backgrounds that you're getting all perspectives from your leadership.
Exactly.
Right?
So important. And again, you know, in my world, I tend to look at the gender diversity. That's like where I get pretty laser focused on that. But
we had Brandon Calloway on the show not too long ago, and I asked him, and I'm going to ask you, like, when you walk into a room, you scan, right? Like, you walk into a room and you scan, and you're like, how many women are in this room? How many gender minorities? How many people of color? Because that's the lens through which we all operate. When we're talking about equity, first thing we have to do is make sure, are we in the right rooms? Are we surrounding ourselves with the right people, right?
Right. And I'm going to squirrel a little bit here because this is what I do. But when I attend like more national angel conferences or things like that, I get a lot of people that come up to me that might be managing groups, you know, elsewhere in the country. And they'll be like, we really need to get more women in our group. How do you do that? You know, you run. And I said, and my response is always, well, you just can't insert them, right? Like, again, the statistics show that until you have at least three people of the same, I don't know whether it's ethnic or gender background or whatever it might be, people are uncomfortable. And, you know, sometimes I laugh when I get men in Women's Capital Connection meetings and they're the only guy. You can sense the uncomfortableness. You can. Yeah.
But the thing is, it's kind of like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She has that quote, when there are nine, like, and when she's talking about the Supreme Court, and she says, you know, nobody questioned it when there were nine men on the Supreme Court. Right. And I kind of feel that way about leadership teams and rooms. Like, I think that gender equity is something really, really great to shoot for. But the fact is, like, when we walk into rooms as women, we already know that in most cases we are occupying rooms and spaces that were not built for us, right? And so when you see that discomfort flipped, it's always so fascinating to me, because I'm like, if I as a woman was hesitant to walk into a room that was fully populated by dudes, I would be in big trouble. I would never go anywhere. Right?
I know, correct. Yep. Yeah, yep. That's true. That's true. You know,
really quickly,
yeah.
I want to pop in here and I want to just let you know, like, we're talking about creating supportive spaces and we're talking about, you know, how do we make sure that we're in the right rooms? And one of the ways, as a startup founder, one of the ways that you can get yourself into the right room is you can talk to Full Scale. Finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Full Scale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io or click the show notes to learn more. And friends, just a reminder, we are here with Kelly Sievers, Managing Director of Women's Capital Connection, a partner of 1KC for Women. And we're talking about one of my favorite things to talk about, even though I wish there wasn't a need to talk about it at all. But we're talking about gender equity, particularly in the startup space. And so Kelly, I do want to make sure to ask you, you brought up something really, really interesting. You know, you talked about the fact that you can't just plug and play with women in leadership, right? You can't just be like, we want women on our team, and then you get women on your team. You actually have to make sure that you have prepared your culture for that influx of new ideas and new perspectives that women bring to the table. And so that's actually what I want to drill down on with you. I want to ask you, what are some ways that organizations can prepare themselves for gender equity and make sure that they're creating a supportive space for women leaders?
Oh, that's a tough question, Lauren. I was so blessed, truly, to grow up and not feel like I needed to do things differently because I was a girl.
Because your dad was so awesome.
He was. I mean, he really, really was. And, but not a lot of people are that fortunate, honestly.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, you know, I think each generation is getting better. I'm going to be honest with you. I really do. And I'm going to tell a story that I hope nobody takes out of context, but I just remember, so I have daughters. I have two daughters that are 30 and 26. And I remember talking to one of my daughters and when they were in high school, and they were telling me about this guy, and he was doing this, and they were talking to him. And I mean, it was a very positive, upbeat general conversation or whatever. And I kind of remembered, you know, who that was, but I said, oh, is that tall black guy? And she looked at me and she just kind of thought for a minute and she goes, oh yeah, he is black. You know what I mean? It was like not a descriptor she had of him.
Yeah.
And again, it was a general descriptor for me because I was just trying to figure out who that was.
Yeah.
But she didn't even think of that. And I'm like, yay, you. You know, it was like, she didn't even,
That's progress, baby.
It's huge progress. I know that sounds kind of, it's a weird story, but it comes back to me a lot because that is huge progress.
Yeah.
And, even like from my dad. So I will say my dad ran a manufacturing plant one time he was the CEO of this big manufacturing plant. And I remember him saying that they had done a time study on their line, on their production line or whatever it is. And again, my dad, who's very, very not gender biased at all, but he was like telling me about it. He goes, yeah. And this gal came in to do this study, almost like it was like, and he thought she did a really great job.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, okay, you were
like,
well,
yes.
You were surprised.
I know.
she was a girl that she did a good job. Like, I don't think I wouldn't have told the story that way. Meaning like I'm another generation, right? And
yeah.
I wouldn't have told that story that way.
Yeah.
And then I go to my kids who have a different, I think each generation is getting better, to come back in a long-winded answer to your question, in that I truly don't think, I look at my daughters, even in what they're doing now, and I don't think, they just don't seem to care if people are of a different race, if people are of a different gender, if people are, it just doesn't seem to be a part of how they think.
Yeah.
And I love that. I absolutely love that.
So I have a lovely story. This was actually super gratifying for me, and I think you'll appreciate it as well. But a while back, we did a panel discussion with Keystone, and it was a living history of Kansas City professional women. And so what we did was I moderated, and we lined up a woman from every generation going back to we went to Xennials, we had a millennial, we had, I'm trying to remember what the name of Teresa Garza's generation. It's the generation after the baby boomers.
Gen X.
What's that? Gen I can't X. remember the name of the generation. It's totally escaping me. But at any
the greatest generation was, yeah.
That was greatest generation, baby boomers, the question mark.
Gen X,
millennials. And then I think right now we're on what, Gen Z? But at any rate, I had lined them up in reverse order. And what was interesting is I asked, you know, what are some of the challenges that you experienced as a woman? And we started with Teresa, who was the most wisdomous member of the panel, and she'd seen some stuff. But she shared her stories. And then as we got closer, every single woman who spoke had less and less to say about the challenges and barriers that they had received that were gendered. I mean, of course, you know, everybody experiences those blockers and all of the challenges and things like that. But by the time we got to Marisol Rivas, who was the representation for the Generation Z and Generation Alpha, she was like, I haven't really experienced anything. And I was like, that is a totally valid response. And that's exactly what we're shooting for. That's excellent. I'm so
I love that.
But yeah, each progressive generation just had less and less to say. And it was just really, really beautiful to see. And it underscores the point that you're making.
It's very inspiring. It really is. And it's like, I mean, and again, it's kind of going back to, with my dad being my biggest supporter, but, you know, I think it's just on, you know, the statistics again show that like what women have to be asked 7 times to run for office because they don't feel like if they don't have 100% of the qualifications, they're just not even going to attempt it.
Right.
And we as women have to get over that. We have to get past that. You know, it's like, I mean, I understand we all have our challenges and we just have to persevere through it because we have to be our own best supporters. And I think that a lot of times people, and I challenge myself with this pretty much on a daily basis. I cannot stand to be around negative people. I'm like, you can switch that around. I mean, I get that, you know, people go through tough times and people have to be supportive of them with that. But to constantly talk to people and they just constantly are finding all the things wrong with things and why they can't get it done and why it isn't going to happen to them. I just choose to distance myself from those folks. And, I need to find people but we need to support each other as women too, and not bring other women down. And here's a controversial thing I do too in supporting women, not always in the equity space, but women who really are starting up businesses and want to grow their businesses. I always tell everybody, what is your version of success? And be good with that, because there's so much noise around that, so much noise. And people, I remember when I had my store on the plaza, everybody would come in and say, when are you going to open another location? When are you going to expand to here? When are you going to do that? And I always kind of, I'm just like, you know what? I don't feel like that is what my version of success is.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for me because I had a lot of noise and a lot of people coming at me like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I'm like, if your version of success is to just make enough money each year to go on a great trip, or you just want to have purpose in life, or what is your version of success? And be good with that. Don't constantly get people challenging you, like, that's not enough. And people sometimes say, why aren't there more women that are CEOs of large companies? And I just, again, that's my opinion only, but I think a lot of them, that's not their version of success, and it's not what they want to do. And many women get into business because that's one thing in their life that they want to do well.
Yeah.
It's not the end all. It's not, I'm going to myopically focus on growing a big business wherever the fallout is elsewhere. I mean, most women don't think that way.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That is okay. Now, I do want to just, you know, there's a caveat in there. And I think that, Kelly, I'm going to speak for you just a little bit and, you know, disagree. You're free to disagree. But I think that one of the real kind of myths or misunderstandings around the women's equity space is the fact that we all want women to be these high performing, super high achieving, you know, working 80 hours a week. And it's like, no, that's not actually what we're shooting for here as people who are invested in women's equity. I was on social media a while back, and there was this big controversy happening around women wearing hijab in sports. Do you remember this conversation? Like it was a big deal. And I made a comment, and I happened to mention, like, I work for an organization that supports professional women. And so this person comes in the comments and he's like, well, if you are truly a women's advocate, then you shouldn't want women to wear hijab because that's, you know, a patriarchal society telling. And I was like, if you think that I am here to tell a woman what she should or should not do to feel closer to God, then you don't understand why I'm here and what I'm all about. What I'm all about is choice. I never want a woman who wants to achieve and wants to be a startup founder. I never want her to feel limited by her environment. I only want her to feel limited by her own needs, wants, and desires. If this is not what you want, then you don't have to. I have so much respect for the stay-at-home mom. I don't want to eradicate stay-at-home moms, but I just want to make sure that every woman out there has the choice that is only powered by her to be a stay-at-home mom or not. Right?
Exactly. I do 100% agree with you. I also tell people too, if you are here to focus on running a huge business and that's your goal, I'm here to help you with that too.
Heck yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just about what you decide, again, what your version of success is. I mean, you be good with that. And because it's really hard, I mean, it's really difficult, I think, for all people, but it's very difficult when so many people are kind of like, you know, oh my God, you can do so much more, you know, you could do so much more, or you could do this, you know, different and all this stuff. It's like, I want to be good with what I'm, you know, my choice, like you said, I want to be good with that. And I think it's really, you have to really dig and be good with that. And that's hard. I think it's hard because we have this society that just, you know, has its own version, I think, of success and things like that too, that we need to be pretty confident in ourselves. And I think that's, I think, like you said, each generation is just getting so much better with all of this, men included. I mean, men included. I'm saying that men are just, there's so many men out there. Again, I look at, you know, and men in my generation, but men in the generations after me, and everybody's just so much more, they don't see the differences. They try to see the, you know, how can we all figure this out together, right? I mean, again, the basics of a piece of the pie, and I go back to my equity stuff, but a piece of the pie is much, a little piece of something ginormous is much better than a big piece of nothing.
Well, and to your earlier point, like I do think that there is some responsibility on us as women to change that narrative. That quote or that statistic that you gave, women need to be asked 7 times to run for office, is something that I do periodically when I meet a woman who mentions potentially being interested in running for office. One of the things I do is I'll be like, you should run for office. Will you run for office? And I'll do it 7 times. And I'm like, there, you've been asked 7 times to run for office. Now right. Go forth and prosper. Have fun. Right. You know, right. I'm just like, I know that mental blocker is often in there. And I'm just like, let's speak to it. Let's just get it out of the way. But right. We as women have to take on that responsibility and say, hey, you know, I need to... Every successive generation has worked to bring women to success. How do we help women thrive? And so I am always hyper aware and so grateful for women of your generation and each generation that came before mine, because you are the only reason that I am able to do the work that I do today. And I talk about this all the time. People are always like, oh, you're doing such amazing work. And I'm like, well, yes, that's true. But I am building this amazing work on the backs of women, the blood, sweat, and tears of the women who came before, you know, and each we're building, we have a strong foundation. How do we move forward? And so hats off to you, my friend, for being a part of that, of changing that narrative so that people like me can come up behind and be like, all right, let's do cleanup. What else we got to do? What's next? You know, it's definitely a progressive thing.
Well, I mean, I think it takes both. And again, I look at it from the gender part, but it takes both men and women. It does to really understand sometimes, and to approach men and women approach things very differently. And I think that's wonderful. I do. It's like, I truly respect, you know, sometimes I can get off on tangents and I can have, you know, I can have a guy be like, man, that's too much. Stop. You know, you need to, whatever it is that I need. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I just really appreciate the dynamics that different perspectives bring.
Yeah.
It's really important. It's very important in business. I mean, it really is. It's like, you know, when, especially folks that come from more of a corporate environment or whatever it might be, it's like you might have a little department or a group that you bounce things off of, but when you have your own company, you know, the best thing is you get to make all the decisions. The toughest thing is you have to make all the decisions. So you have to learn how to, I don't know, how to look at things from a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah.
I think. I do. And I think it's helpful when there's men and women involved.
Absolutely. And I mean, some of Innovator's greatest supporters and champions have been men. And this show, Lauren's episodes of the show are not the she woman man haters club. Like, we love male around here. The only reason I'm here is because at points in my journey, I had people who believed in me, and that includes a lot of men. You know, and so when I see men who are just great allies and co-conspirators, like, yeah, let's have more of that. Let's give you the applause and the kudos that you deserve as well. Now, I hate to say this, and speaking of tangents, I'm going to take us a little bit out here, because we have come to time. We're actually going a little bit over time, and I'm not shocked, because I knew that I really wanted to talk to Kelly. But I have a human question for you. Kelly, are you ready?
Oh, as I'll ever be, Lauren.
Well, and I picked one, and it's, all right, I got this one. We'll see how you feel about it. If not, I can go back to the drawing board. But what is your favorite word?
My favorite word would have to be something positive, but I'm trying to think of...
So I will be perfectly honest, and I'm gonna answer this question while you're thinking about it. And I will tell you that there is a reason that we have explicit written on the Startup Hustle podcast, like wherever we post it, we say explicit, because some listeners of the show will not come as a surprise to you that my favorite word is fuck. And it's because it's such an expressive word. I just love it. Like, there is no other word in the English language that is so expressive. And you can use it in so many different contexts in so many different ways. And I just think it's a fabulous word. But that being said, Kelly, you are more than welcome to come up with one that's a little bit more PG.
Oh, but I can't, you know, Lauren, I'm not extremely creative. I'm going to get off the show and be like, oh, there's
my. That was the way. 2 a.m, you're going to like bolt up right and be like, effervescence. All right. We'll try another one. This is one of my favorite questions, and I've asked it before, but I'm going to ask it again. If you could have any superpower, what would you have? We've got invisibility, the ability to fly, mind reading. I would be a mind reader, by the way.
You know what? I don't mean to get on the bandwagon there, but I would say yes, that would be me. Yes.
So we can have our own little take over the world thing.
I love that. I do. That would be my superpower, would be to read minds, because then I think you can be more effective with people too, right?
Influence people and come right to the level. My husband's like, is it because you want to manipulate people? And I'm like, no. It's because I want to possibly influence them to make the correct decisions. And he's like, yeah, potato, potato.
I'm a big love languages believer. Let's put it that way. So it is about reading minds and knowing what people, what motivates them, right?
Meeting people at their level.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly. It has been, of course, a joy. Like, we're talking about some of my favorite things favorite things in that I enjoy talking about them. But again, I wish that they weren't necessary. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Oh, of course. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and another thing that is wonderful, my friends, is, of course, Full Scale. If you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders, Full Scale can help. They have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions and then let the platform match you up with fully vetted, highly experienced software engineers, testers, and leaders. At Full Scale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io. And friends, I feel like I close out the show beating a dead horse, but I'm going to do it again. You're just going to have to deal with it. So I'm going to ask you, reach out to us. We Startup Hustle is a show by founders for founders. We do this work for you. We want to have conversations that are meaningful and helpful to you. And so I'm going to ask you, tell us what you want to hear. You can go to startuphustle.xyz. That's our website. Suggest guests, suggest topics, ask questions. You can find us on social media. We've got Startup Hustle Chat on Facebook. We've got LinkedIn, TikTok, all of those social media platforms. And I'm just going to ask you, if you like the show, help us out, help us make it better, help us speak to you and talk about topics that are going to help you thrive as a founder. Reach out to us. Come find me on LinkedIn. I will take those ideas as well. Happy to pass them along to our producers. But point being, we want to hear what you want to hear. And I invite you to do that. We are extraordinarily grateful that you come back to us week after week and listen. Please keep doing so. And we will catch you next time.
Hey, Lauren.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you add on this here? I don't know if you can, but to check into 1KC for Women, we have lots of great opportunities for education in the equity space and for fundraising for women. I just want to really add that in there because there's a lot of really good opportunities through.
Oh, of course. Well, Innovate Her, and we are still recording, but I definitely invite the women out there, check out 1KC for Women. They have a lot of really fantastic programs, the Women's Business Center, Women's Capital Connection. What am I missing, Kelly? What else we got?
Well, we have a We Lend initiative. Women Leadership Initiative, and just lots of opportunities in the equity space, also in starting your business, and opportunities for just learning a lot about how women in business.
Absolutely. And we will definitely put we'll definitely put some links down in the show notes for you to check out for sure. But check out Kelly, keep checking out Startup Hustle. And like I said, we will catch you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.